As Federal News Radio first reported last week, the General Services Administration is creating a new service to host its high-tech offerings. The Transformational Technology Service will be the third service within GSA, alongside the Public Building Service and the Federal Acquisition Service, combining the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies, 18F, and the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program. So, is the new organization a step up for those GSA functions, or will another layer of bureaucracy just bog them down? We posed that question to Larry Allen, the president of Allen Federal Business Partners.
The Transformational Technology Service, Jared, in my mind, is a creation to give several disparate parts of GSA a home. 18F, the Office of Citizen Services that have recently been expanded to IT. You know, these have been operations that work independently inside GSA, and really we're just kind of floating around there. So the decision was made to stand up a new service to give them a home, which from an organizational standpoint, I think you can make an argument for. But it's a pretty small service. I'm not sure that you needed an entire service length infrastructure to create a home for these organizations. So I think there's a lot of head-scratching going on both inside and outside GSA.
What are the potential disadvantages of putting these three organizations, which sort of have like functions or related functions, into a new service?
Well, right off the bat, Jared, I think one of the concerns is that each of these organizations is known for working very quickly, very, dare we say, agilely, and that's really been their stock and trade, cutting-edge solutions, being able to help federal agency customers that, you know, don't need an existing solution. They need something new, and these organizations have been able to develop those fairly quickly. If you're putting them now in a service structure, to me and other people who look at GSA a lot, that indicates, well, now there's a bureaucracy around these things, and do they get to focus on what made them great, or are they going to have to be distracted by administrivia? So that's a concern. The other concern is that if the aim is for each of these organizations to do more work, which I think it is, how are they going to do that? Because they don't themselves have existing contracts. Are they going to rely on contracts from their sister organization, the Integrated Technology Service, that's in another part of GSA, or how are they going to do what they're doing? Congratulations, everybody now sees you and has a place to identify you with, and with that comes some scrutiny.
And what logically would be the role of the Integrated Technology Service in relation to in relation to the new third service? Would it logically find a home within the Transformational Technology Service, or remain where it is?
Well, you know, I think that's a big question, and people are waiting to see if there's another shoe to drop in this organization, Jared, which is to move all of the technology contracts and assisted acquisition services that GSA has historically done on the technology front into the same service. Right now, I don't see that as being a good fit. Integrated Technology Service, even though it's just part of FAS, is many times larger than the new Transformational Technology Service.
All by itself.
A lot more people, a lot more scope, and so, you know, you'd be talking about bringing a very large organization into one that's very small with a very specific go-to-market, very specific set of credentials about how they want to work with federal agencies. So while they're both doing technology, I'm not sure that they need to be in the same service.
Let's switch gears to another federal contracting topic. As my colleague Jason Miller reported a bit earlier, that there are some concerns on the Hill about category management, new concerns, I should say, with leaders of the House Small Business Committee saying this approach from OMB is preventing agencies from using GSA schedules and getting lower prices. Do they have a point?
Well, I think it's an interesting point. It's usually a point that industry makes, Jared, which is that the day-to-day competition on the GSA Schedules program can end up yielding better values and better pricing for agencies because of the daily competition. Now, at least some in Congress are saying, hey, GSA, you ought to at least take a look at that argument, because when you lock yourself into, say, strategic sourcing solutions and you tell people and agencies you have to use these vehicles, there can be a tendency to relax, to not have that daily competition. There are many more companies, for example, that don't have these preferred contracts that have been set up than do, and there's a powerful incentive, therefore, for the companies on the outside to try to lower their pricing where they can and offer the government better deals. This is nothing new, Jared. We have seen this throughout the course of government contracting. In the 90s, for example, we saw this when the Air Force set up its desktop contracts for IT, and immediately after those awards came out, every other non-successful IT company came out with prices and packages at or below the new desktop award packages, and the result is we didn't have any more desktop contracts after a while, because there was no point in putting together a vehicle that took a lot of time and cost everybody a lot of money if the first day out of the blocks better pricing was already available. So I think it's important to learn the lessons from what we've done in the past, so that we don't recreate the same mistakes. I'm not saying that that's imbued throughout the category management system, far from it. This is just one slice of the category management initiative. It's a slice, though, that's gotten Congress' attention, so GSA is now going to have to give it its due.
It seems to me, though, that some of those concerns, at least, are sort of conflating category management with strategic sourcing. In other words, I mean, you don't want to necessarily tar the entire category management approach, as you just suggested. In theory, at least, you could use category management in a way that still leveraged the schedules and other vehicles that have that constant competition that you're talking about.
Well, I agree with you, Jared. I think that there was some confusion in the congressional letter mixing strategic sourcing with category management. Nevertheless, it underscores two things. The first is, look, this alphabet soup of new initiatives that has been coming out of OMB and then implemented by GSA is confusing. It's confusing to federal buyers. It's confusing to federal contractors. The oversight agencies can't always sort it out. So I think that OMB and GSA need to understand that for all of their good efforts, if you move very quickly inside of a large organization like the government procurement arena, you're going to create a wake like a boat going too fast on the water, and a lot of people are going to get knocked over and wonder what it was that hit them, and I think that's kind of what's happening now. The other thing, though, is whether we're strategic sourcing or category management, Congress has legitimate concerns about the impact of each of these programs on small businesses. And that, too, was part of the letter that was sent to GSA. And it's not just GSA that comes in for this scrutiny. It is OMB as well. Anne Rung at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, every time she speaks on category management, she always gets questions about the potential negative impact on small businesses. So if you're going to be doing business with fewer companies, arguably that would mean fewer smaller companies. You know, what's the impact there? The government has standing socioeconomic programs that are perceived to benefit small businesses. Are those going to go away now? How are they going to mix in with category management? So those are classical questions on the small business front that at least Congress feels need to be better addressed.
Larry Allen is the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. He joins us frequently to talk about government contracting, and you can share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.